Is the distance between the top two Rams running backs too big in Fantasy Pros Championship drafts? What NFC South rookie could be in for a big 2024? And which new look AFC South offense needs your attention in the FFPC Best Ball Tournament? Plus, the 2023 FFPC Genesis champ, Vince Staffolino, joins us to discuss DK Metcalf, the Packers tight end situation, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high stakes fantasy starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men than need a lesson.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man. Nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome in. We appreciate that intro, Rob. Happy Friday to all of you Farrelliacs and Balkaholics. This is the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com, the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I am, of course, your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. You know me from the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network, and, of course, the Fantasy Football Players Championship as well. My co-host is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. I will bring him in shortly. Coming up on tonight's show, Farrell and I will bring it strong on Ray Davis's impact on James Cook and what to make of Isaiah Likely in 2024 before the defending Genesis champion and FFPC Pros versus Joe's Small Heath Division, Vince Staffolino, hops aboard to share his thoughts on the Browns backfield, Christian Kirk, and much more. If you want to connect with us on X, we are at HSFF Hour. I am at Eric Balkman. And, of course, check out Farrell's Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. You can post on our Facebook page at High Stakes Fantasy Football at Facebook.com/HSFF Hour and email us at HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com. If you do have any questions for us throughout the program, just post them in the YouTube, the Facebook, or the X chats, or send them in to that email address. We'll try to get to all of them throughout the show tonight, but especially in that last segment, the fantasy feedback segment later on in the show. Thanks to our audio engineer for his work tonight, my best friend Bryce, and of course our producer and mutual friend Rob. The 2024 FFPC Best Ball and Superflex Best Ball tournaments are live. Check it out at myffpc.com. The Best Ball tournament is now a $300,000 grand prize, up from $200,000 last year. And the Superflex Best Ball tournament is at $100,000. It wasn't even a six-figure grand prize last year. Now it's up to $100,000, and it's only $35 to enter. So check that out there. Drafts going on each and every day, whether you want to draft live or slow. Same thing with the 2024 Fantasy Pros Championship. Those are going on. In fact, there's one probably going on right now as I speak. There's a midnight draft tonight if you're still looking for action. Again, a $1 million grand prize in there, and get in before June 15th, because if you sign up before June 15th, and you draft before June 30th, you're going to qualify for that early bird discount where you get a free $35 FFPC team credit applied to your account. We'll do that up to three times for you this year. So cash in on that. Only a little over a month to go to check that out. Empire Leagues have arrived at the FFPC as well as Dynasty Leagues too. So if you're looking for some startup leagues and want to play fantasy football year round, the Dynasty Leagues are out there. The Empire Leagues, again, 50% of each year's prizes will go to the league's Empire pot, and whoever wins the league 2 years in a row cashes not only that year's grand prize, but the Empire pot as well. The league disbands, and you can feel free to join a new Empire League. You'll get your deposit back as well. Go to myffpc.com to play in that and much more. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends and enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live here on the FFPC YouTube channel, like we did on Tuesday night. I should bring that up too. I had a great conversation on Tuesday night on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Plenty of stuff on the Fantasy Pros Championship. Plenty of stuff in Dynasty as well. It was a great episode. So make sure you're checking that out at MyFFPC, not at MyFFPC.com, on the FFPC YouTube channel. You can check that out. We went roughly, I want to say about an hour or so, a little bit less. A longtime high-stakes player, Liz Ballard, who has won well over a dozen high-stakes leagues, and she had a lot to say based on the drafts that she had been already participating in the FFPC this year, as well as her tactics going forward as she tries to cash that $1 million grand prize, not only in the Fantasy Pros Championship, but in the FFPC main event as well. That is what's going on right now. I will bring up a couple of things from the YouTube chat right now. Bill Hollywood chiming in. Watch last night's podcast this morning. He's referring to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network. Gary, I think that was his name. Man, great guest. Yeah, he was a great guest. It was Gary Davenport from Bleacher Report. He was awesome last night. Got through a lot of stuff with him, not only with Dynasty, but redraft stuff as well. You've already, if the name sounds familiar, he's obviously a big fantasy analyst with Bleacher Report, but he's played in the FFPC Pros versus Joes many a time over the years. So it was great to chop it up with him. In case you missed it, any of the FFPC socials will have it, as well as bettersports.com or betternetwork.com. You can watch the replay there. And Gary was under the weather last night too. So the fact that he did 2 hours with me not only was very entertaining and informative for me, but it was awesome to hear from him and for all the listener and viewer questions that we had throughout the show. We had a great time last night. Bill Hollywood wants to know about our venerable commissioner, Bryce. Does he play a lot of fantasy too? Now, Bryce does not play in the FFPC. However, he does play fantasy football. I know he's got a lot of private leagues. Does pretty good in them. He competes against his wife every year. I think his wife has been his biggest bugaboo over the years. She always seems to have a really good team. But yeah, Bryce does play a lot of fantasy football, Bill Hollywood. So, and keep him coming. If you have anything to say in the YouTube chat tonight, feel free to drop it in there. Or if you're watching on Facebook or Twitter as well, we're always happy to answer each and everything that we can get in there tonight. Now, I do apologize for anybody who may have watched last night's episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show. We might, one of the tough things for me is doing back-to-back shows like this is sometimes we double dip on topics, right? And so I think we might double dip a little bit tonight. I always try to stay away from it. So hopefully we'll get some mostly fresh content tonight. Now, one of the things we did talk about briefly, and I don't think I expanded on it enough, with Gary Davenport last night, was the Raiders quarterback situation. The latest we've heard from Ian Rappaport, which I think was earlier this week, it might have been yesterday, could have been Wednesday or Thursday, I don't think it was today, but Tom Telesco, who is the general manager for the Raiders, said that Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are expected to compete for the starting job in training camp. Now, last year, I don't think either one of these guys were world beaters, but neither one of them, pooped the bed, as it were, either. Minshew almost led Indianapolis to the NFL playoffs last year. 17 games, Minshew threw for over 3,300 yards, 15 touchdowns against just 9 picks. He went 7-6 in the 13 starts he made for Indy. O'Connell didn't become the starter for the Raiders until about halfway through the season in week 9, and his team went 5-4 in that span. He touched 1,900 yards through the air, 11 touchdowns and 5 picks. Antonio Pierce says O'Connell has, quote, earned the right to get the first snap, but Minshew is probably going to get a handle on this as well. As we look at the Fantasy Mojo, fantasymojo.com, at Fantasy Mojo on the X, Darren Armani, the godfather of the FFPC Pros versus Joes. If you're playing in the FFPC, strongly suggest that you get a membership to that website because it is invaluable. In the FFPC Best Ball Tournament ADP, you look at it over the last 7 days, and actually Minshew is going ahead of O'Connell by about 2 rounds or so. But one's a 17th round pick, the other's a 19th round pick. You don't have to invest nearly a ton of draft capital in either one of these. But as I bring in my co-host with the most, Mr. Farrell Elliott. Farrell, this is your Raiders here. Ooh. We're talking O'Connell. We're talking Minshew. Let's talk about them for what they mean for fantasy as far as if you have to have them on your team. But who do you want starting for the Raiders if you have Brock Bowers, if you have Devontae Adams, if you have Zamir White? Who is the best quarterback for the skill position players on this team?
I truly think the best quarterback will be Minshew. I think both of them are serviceable, but Minshew goes beyond that. Balky, here's a quick Here's a quick trivia question. No cheating. How old is Minshew?
I'll say.
Where are you looking, Boggy? Where are you?
Okay, I'll say.
I know you have it on the wall.
I don't have it on the wall. All right. I will say he is 26. I don't know.
Very good. He's 28. He'll be 28 this season. You know, if he's ever going to get it, he's going to get it now. And when he has started, when they've cut out time for him and say you're the week to week starter, he's been right at 500 or above. I think 13 and 11. Now, as a journeyman fill in player, he's kind of exactly what you would expect: 2 wins, 10 losses, and starts. But when you take what he has, when you look at this roster, Adams, Myers, Bowers, Trey Tucker, who Raider fans will be aghast if I say this, but Trey Tucker will be an upgrade over Renfro in the slot position. This player threw 500 balls last year. He had a couple games where he went over 300 yards. There's the potential to take what the defense has given you. There's too many tools here to shut them all down. Minshew will go through his progressions, and he'll nicely be able to match up some balls in the middle of this field. And you don't have to go vertically. Crossing routes can get a lot done, and that's where this quarterback will shine. Now, look, I think O'Connell's a very good quarterback. I think he could win this job. Boy, his quarterback coach keeps telling me he's the next Tom Brady, and I know his quarterback coach is a bit certifiable, but still he's trying to bring attention to that fact. So as drafting all these Vegas players, do not discount them. And if anyone else is, that's to your benefit. Get them on your team. You can expect, you can expect an offense that's going to look much, much different. Now, when you go to O'Connell, you know, it's hard for me to get out of my mind that 3-0 game at Minnesota last year. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember that was early December.
Yep.
They caught a wave, and the next week they scored 63 against Los Angeles, but I think that was more field and turnovers and defensive play than anything. I believe Minshew is the better quarterback. I think he'll win the job, and I think people like him. I think O'Connell will learn from him. I think this is an interesting combo of quarterbacks to move forward with until the Raiders find their quarterback of the future.
I think that's I'm with you. I think I'm rooting for Minshew as well to win that job, just because I feel like I don't necessarily care about the taking of chances that Minshew will do, probably more so than O'Connell. I would if I was Antonio Pierce, right? Yeah. I would if I was a Raiders coach. I would if I was a teammate. But as a fantasy player, I'm rooting for Minshew because he is going to push the ball downfield more. He's going to take more chances. More chances means more production from those fantasy players as well. Sure. One of the things that I think a lot of dynasty players were following throughout the NFL draft was the Rams running back situation. Mm-hmm. And fingers crossed for all those Kyron Williams dynasty owners or those early share owners of Kyron Williams in the best ball tournament, the never too early best ball tournament. Didn't work out the way as planned, as Blake Corum ends up getting drafted by the Rams in the third round this year. Les Snead, this is a report on NFL.com earlier this week. Les Snead says that the team doesn't want to, quote, totally run down Kyron Williams this season. Now, Snead was asked about Blake Corum and talking about the selection of it. And Snead said that there's a lot of similarities between Kyron Williams and Blake Corum, and he felt that they needed as many backs as possible because of a 17-game season that quickly could turn into an 18-game season. But Kyron Williams, a guy who is a borderline first-round pick, Farrell, a month or two ago, has fallen. And Blake Corum, a guy who maybe people were drafting a little bit higher, he's actually fallen as well since he has been drafted by the Rams too. Blake Corum is pretty successful, or was really successful in Michigan in short yarded situations. He could vulture some touchdowns. As we look at the mojo on these two players, Kyron Williams has slipped, but he's only slipped to the 209 in Fantasy Pros drafts as the running back 7. Blake Corum is running back 38 at the 10-01. I was talking with Gary Davenport from Bleacher Report about this last night. I think there's too big of a distance between these two players. I think Corum is a guy that you should target right now because I think he's going to rise in ADP. And Kyron Williams at the 209, too rich for my blood right now, but I do think he is going to fall. And when he starts falling to that mid-third, late-third, I think you could feel comfortable pouncing there. How do you feel about the Rams running back situation?
Balky, I'm glad you're not falling south this week to draft in Louisville, because by the time you get here, we have to have you cured of this notion that you should not be drafting Kyron Williams, because this is the player. You know, this is great conversation from the general manager, and I would expect him to say this, but this coach has gotten used to winning, and he's been winning by keeping that ball in front of the chains and handing it to Kyron Williams. Kyron Williams, you know, they're a much different team when he's on the field, looking different in the backfield, taking pressure off the quarterback and slowing down the pass rush. Corum will have a good football purpose in this offense. He will not deter Williams' production as a fantasy player.
So Kyron Williams, still a target for you at this point.
Oh, right? Yeah, let him drop. Keep all dropping right. FFPC. I hope he's in the basement. I hope he's in the basement of Planet Hollywood when we get out there.
Yes. Well, and hey, listen, if he keeps falling, yeah, obviously I'm going to be all over that for sure as well. We have Vince Staffolino, the Genesis champ, and the Small Heath champ from Pros versus Joe's league last division, Small Heath division last year. Yes, I can talk. He is waiting in the green room right now. Before we bring him on, there's two other things I want to hit on. Xavier Leggett ends up signing a four-year contract after he was drafted by the Carolina Panthers with the final pick of the first round of the 2024 draft. In fact, the Panthers are the first team in the NFL to have their entire draft class sign ahead of the rookie minicamp that actually started today. Obviously, being drafted in the first round, you get that fifth-year option. The Panthers actually traded back into the first round to make sure they got that fifth-year option. Dave Canales actually talked about manufacturing touches for Xavier Leggett. And Dave Canales, no stranger to that, as he was the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay last year with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rashad White et al. There's a lot of options, a lot of playmakers they had on that staff that he made sure he got the ball into their hands as much as possible. He also said he's not going to be an immediate point of emphasis in downfield passes. And, you know, the Panthers offense is still changing. It's still growing. It's still evolving. So you look at Xavier Leggett. Yeah, maybe an okay dynasty guy, even though I believe he's slightly older than me, Farrell. But from the redraft standpoint, how much sneaky goodness is there here with Xavier Leggett, who, by the way, his mojo right now in the FFPC Fantasy Pros Championship is at wide receiver 60 at the 12-11 right now.
I think that's a wonderful place to get a player like this. One of the things I got to think back, I talk to players, I say, how's your team? Oh, man, my team was great. And then we got past the waiver wire and we got into the championships and it kind of fell apart. Well, you know, that's what happens if you draft a lot of studs with big names and a lot of years of service behind them sometimes. And, you know, this player, you've got the coach saying, we don't know where it's going to be at the start, but we expect by the end of the season he's going to do something. You've got to read between the lines. I love Leggett. You know, I love all the players of his ilk that come into the league. And, yeah, they got up in the round to draft him. And, all the other first-round draft pick receivers that are going very, very high, and this player is where he is in the draft, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, you'll question the quarterback, and you say Carolina, and yes, it's hard to get excited about that. But let's look at this head coach. Since leaving Seattle, he's now in Tampa. He's on the fast track to success. He's hired to make this quarterback successful. He's got nowhere to go but up, and this kid Leggett's going to be part of it to make it go.
One other thing that I will touch on, and doesn't necessarily involve rookies, but it does involve some exciting two-year players and maybe more than two-year players over in Tennessee. Easton Freeze reporting that Will Levis is expecting a more varied passing attack now that Brian Callahan is the head coach there, as opposed to one Mike Vrabel. Levis thinks that the attack is going to be balanced, and we'll get into those running backs later on in the show with Pollard and Spears. But he also thinks that the Titans are, quote, going to have a lot of drop back games and situations where we might not have seen that last year. He also emphasized this, according to Easton Freeze's report, we're going to throw the ball on first down, which is great. How often did the Titans do that last year? Almost never. Yeah, Mike Vrabel just loved pounding it to Derrick Henry. And granted, Henry's a future Hall of Famer. I get it. They will be throwing it more, much more so this year. So you have Will Levis, who has a year under his belt in Tennessee. And now, in addition to Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley has been added to this offense. Tyler Boyd has been added to this offense. And as I said, Tony Pollard, a part of this offense right now as well. Farrell, I don't see any massive, like, oh, my goodness, I got to get this guy at this spot here in the Fantasy Pros Championship. But Tennessee pass catchers, Hopkins at the 901, Treylon Burks going at the 1611, Calvin Ridley at the 612. He's the first Tennessee Titan drafted on average. When you see this report about the Titans' offense shifting, is this an offense that we need to be targeting here before the rest of the drafting world catches up to us?
I really do. You know, Mr. Irrelevant for me in one of my dynasty drafts, the last pick of the seventh round, Tyler Boyd today. I think you can take Burks off your draft list. You've mentioned the players. I won't mention them again, but they bring a different element to this offense. Tannehill somewhere going, what is going on? You know, what I miss here? Look at all this. And Levis, you forget that he came on the scene, or one forgets that he came on the scene last year, his first start through four touchdowns, his first game out.
Yep.
And, you know, old coach looked at that and said, we don't want to win that way. So that, and they didn't. And it was difficult on Levis. Levis is a player that had the worst completion percentage of any quarterback in the NFL last year with this many attempts. And that comes from the brutal down and distance and the play calling that he was put into, along with the play of the offensive line. We'll get you. You want to get to the running backs later, but I'll tell you right now, you can expect a great deal of check down to those players this year. Ooh. You can expect Levis in a situation where he's going to do some things with his feet, especially when you spread this offense out. And these receivers, Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, think about the kind of route runners they are, the kind of catches we have seen them make. These are foolish numbers for these players to still be on the board.
If you're already loaded up on receiver, running back, whatever, I mean, these are players that you should be looking at as depth. Especially with Hopkins, who's still a tactician at this point of his career, to be getting him in the ninth round, I think you're doing it the right way if you're grabbing him as your number five receiver, even your number four receiver at that point as well. Let's go with our number one guest as we bring him on tonight. He's won numerous, don't even know how many, FFPC and KFFSC leagues over the years, including last year's 2023 FFPC Genesis League and the Small Heath division of the 2023 FFPC Pros versus Joes competition. He won an FFPC main event entry into the 2024 competition. He'll be gunning for $1 million in that, as well as in his Fantasy Pros Championship drafts that he's already played in. He's done a ton of drafts already this year. He's here to talk about it. You follow him on X at @VC_staff. Please welcome back onto the show, Mr. Vince Staffolino. Vince, congratulations on all your success last year, and thanks for hopping aboard this Friday evening.
Thank you, Eric. Great to be here as always. Farrell, haven't been on these airwaves with you for a while, so great to talk
to you. It's great to see you. It's great to see you. Balky, you have done a wonderful job of bringing guests into the show, and you continue. I mean, you hit a home run every time you come to the plate. With the knowledgeable Vince Staffolino, all we need to do is sit back, throw out the questions, let his genius spread around. And I'll tell you what's genius about him, Balky. Declared today eligible for six live KFFSC drafts, both in Cincinnati and Louisville. He sneaks around. He's a little bit on the margins. You know, you say, did you see Staffolino? Well, I don't know. I think he was here. You know, he's always down low, because that's how you
Houdini. Win.
Yes. That is. That winning smile. It's good stuff, Balky. Really good stuff.
Yeah, Vince is good stuff. I mean, he's a fantastic player. We want to pick your brain tonight, Vince. And what I'm going to do is I'll actually bring up, if I can do it here and do it properly here, I'm going to bring up the draft board from Genesis. Now, Vince was drafting in the seventh spot here, which you can see sort of in the middle of your screen. Amon-Ra St. Brown was the first pick there. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Marvin Harrison, Nico Collins off the board as your first three picks. But the player I want to talk about is the one you drafted right after that. You didn't have any running backs, tight ends, or quarterbacks at this point. You drafted a fourth receiver to keep things going here, to keep this streak going. One of only two players in this league who went with four straight receivers to start. DK Metcalf is your pick at the 406, Vince. Now, Jaxon Smith-Njigba was a rookie last year. He has a year under his belt. He's expected to take a step forward in his second year. Tyler Lockett, many left him for dead. He signed an extension this past offseason with Seattle as well. Why did you like Metcalf here on a team where, yeah, he's still the number one target, but these other guys are creeping up a little bit, and there were other, you know, quote-unquote needs for you at this point in the draft, not having running backs, not having tight ends. You must like Metcalf quite a bit. Tell us a little bit about why that was the pick for you here.
So I do like him, but I think he fit for this build here because of this league and the structure. I have to beat 11 other people, right? And I feel like in something like this, I like to start with four receivers. So I have that nice foundation and then kind of do a zero RB. And later in the year, if I'm hovering around fourth place to sixth place, a couple of those RBs pop, then all of a sudden I have a lineup that'll help me to win.
Yes, I think your lineup, when you talk about RBs that are going to pop, Balky, I believe that's Ray Davis that was the running back that we covered up with our headshots there, the Buffalo running back out of the University of Kentucky that
Davis.
Now there's your guy that's going to pop. We've already talked about Corum tonight. Yep. My bet with you is that Davis exceeds Corum in fantasy points this year and becomes, by the end of the year, a regular starter for you. I think that that's a 50-50 split by the end of the year if he doesn't take that position away and be the number one back there.
Well, and Vince, we can ask you about Davis here, too, as long as Farrell's bringing it up. The 1206 is where you took him, as we just pointed out. I look at that pick, and I'm kind of thinking, like, kind of what Farrell's saying, like, what's his effect going to be on James Cook? Because James Cook, prior to the Ray Davis pick, there is a lot of draft pundits out there saying that this is a guy that was not efficient last year, that was thriving on volume last year, that is probably not likely to repeat his 2023 performance into this season. And if that's the case without Ray Davis, now with Ray Davis, I mean, quite frankly, he should be the Bills running back we're targeting, not James Cook, and you got him in the 12th round here, man.
Yep, I feel like if you look at what they did with Lat Murray and some Ty Johnson, you know, this is obviously someone who is coming in with a better skill set right off the bat, younger, obviously. Seems like a really good kid, great character. Maybe they stop using Allen so much at the goal line. I know he catches the ball well, too. I just feel like they spread it around to the other backs who were, you know, kind of past their prime, right? Well, a journeyman and someone who's a little bit older.
He runs violent.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I'm sure you know this, Vince, because you are up to date on all things fantasy football and all things with your competitor. And Balky has a spot amongst all his other broadcast duties. He has a spot on a terrestrial radio station in north-south Wisconsin. And that's why I get all the Green Bay questions. And so here's a Green Bay question. There's so many things to talk about. The glorious tight end that you acquired in Jake Ferguson. We're going to skip that. We're going to talk about your second tight end because he's a Packer. Luke Musgrave. Now, what do you think is in store for this player? Because I am a big Musgrave fan. I was already on the bandwagon. Then Balky supercharged our bandwagon. And Musgrave is on my fantasy dynasty teams. And what's the story for him this year? And was it necessary? Is he a good match with your Ferguson? I like the way you referred to that concept of building. Is he part of the build?
Well, you know, let's start with hopefully having him be healthy so he can get his feet under him with his career. He was out six games with the lacerated kidney. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year? So, you know, tight ends and historically take 3 years to really hit their stride, right? I know we've seen some recently that hit faster, but I feel like coming in healthy and with Jordan Love, who just looks phenomenal. I think I was a little down on him last year, I think beginning and middle of the year. And then I'm like, well, what was I thinking? I remember you asking me on one show, Balky, if he was the future or not. And I'm like, well, you know, they've got one in house now. We'll see what they do. But obviously from then he just took off. It's been amazing. So I think, there's a lot of talent there, right? But he is second round pick. And I think he just needs to get the reps. And Tucker Kraft is great too. I've been trying to pair them up in best ball whenever I can.
Oh.
I think that's a great combo to have in best ball, especially if you can get Jordan Love and maybe some of those second tier, third tier receivers that they have as well.
Well, Balky, I apologize. It looks like I hijacked your Ray Davis question. Really wanted to talk about somebody who wasn't a Packer. I apologize, but I just
we always talk about Packers.
Sorry about that. You know,
we always talk Packers whenever I'm on. It seems like I'm pandering to the host here.
Well, yeah. I'm letting you know a little secret. No matter who I have on, we always talk Packers. Yeah. It always seems to come up for sure.
We always talk
Packers. And we'll keep the Packers conversation going here, Farrell.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, yeah, I think you know so much about these players. I'm really kind of handicapped in asking you about him, but I think anybody who plays fantasy football watches the Packers. Loves Wicks. Dontavian Wicks has been impressive. He's shown that he's the kind of guy that you think has a real, real high ceiling in this league. And now you've got a situation where you've got a very accurate quarterback that we think is going to throw a lot of touchdowns. This player is going in the 14th round. Obviously, they think you're going to go to somebody else. You drafted him in the 14th. What do you see for him?
I see, obviously, a phenomenal quarterback, but then the WR1 they have can't stay healthy. And I'm a big fan of Christian Watson, too. Love the skills and his ability, but he's missed time every year. And I feel like where I took Wicks, if he has to be a spot starter, an injury replacement, buy and fill in, whatever, you know, he's very likely to contribute to my points for that week. If there's an injury, you know, then he's getting a lot more targets. And he really is probably the third best receiver on that team. I think he's ahead of Dobbs in abilities. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would. And I would say, and again, I feel like I talked about this a lot last year, but had Wicks come out in the 2022 draft coming off a really good season, he was a borderline first round pick. You know, in the 2023 season, he was dealing with injuries. He dealt with a new OC, a new offense, new quarterback, new head coach. There was a lot of fresh stuff for him there. And really wasn't fair to expect the same type of season for him. He stays in school one more year, hurts his draft stock. He goes on day four. He goes in round four of day three, and the Packers pick him up there. And he just goes with this island of misfit toys wide receiver room that Green Bay seems to have there. No official wide receiver one. Christian Watson, like you said, Vince, probably the closest thing to it. But they have a lot of options there. Now, if I'm talking fantasy pros or like the Genesis League, like, I mean, you took him in Genesis too. Do you draft him later there if it's not best ball, given that Wicks could be hit or miss, you know, from week to week? I think about last year where he had these big spike weeks where he get 80, 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then another week he might only get 20 yards because of how Green Bay utilized him, because of the game plan. Do you bump him down a little bit more in managed leagues?
I think so. I think his ADP is what? 14?
14. Yes.
Yeah, so maybe 16.
Wow.
And I think it makes sense. You know, with players like that, you want those players on your teams, but in managed leagues, you don't want to overdraft them. Best ball, it's a little bit different of a story.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately for me, we're going to move off the Packers. We're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens here.
See if we can get back there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we might get back there.
We might. Yeah. Vince, I'm going to bring up the draft board once again here. And for everybody who can see it, I got to scroll down a little bit more so everybody else can see it here. The pick I want to talk about here is, as you drafted him in the 16th round, he was at the 16:06 here. You'd already drafted Ferguson in the sixth. You can see you drafted Musgrave in the 11th round as well. But then you go ahead and you draft Isaiah Likely here. Now, Likely was a guy that fantasy players in the FFPC tight end premium scoring would salivate over anytime Mark Andrews was going to be missing a game. Is he simply that guy again this year where if you have him in a managed league and Andrews is hurt, you just put him in there as a flex or you put him in there as a tight end? Or is there something more to Likely's game in 2024?
I think it's really dependent on Andrews' health. But as you've seen, as you saw there, I took Lamar in the fifth as my QB. And I thought, well, great talent, and he's a great guy to stash if you can, if you don't have to make some difficult cuts, right? So spot starter, of course, he can catch a TD. He can get a few deep plays. But I think really I'm hoping, well, I don't want to hope for Andrew's injury, of course, but I'm hoping he becomes relevant down the road. And I can see a situation, you know, later in the year or in the playoffs, what if I had to use Likely because he was playing, because I had other injuries. And then I took Devontae Walker, who I think is a real sleeper. Then I have a Lamar stack for a playoff game. That's a narrative, but the stranger things have happened in this sport. So
here's the problem, Balky, when you're dealing with Vince. Not only is he smart, but he's lucky. See, here, what's going on with the Ravens? It's fantastic. You drafted Lamar Jackson quarterback. The Ravens are going to look completely different on offense. They're going to spread all that out. They're going to have Derrick Henry standing behind Lamar. They're going to have that 300-pound fullback in the situation confusing things. And when they spread it out, it's not going to be so much Nelson Aguilar. It's going to be Isaiah Likely. Lamar, his body is changing. He's getting smaller. I saw a report on this on Football Guys. The NFL Live the other night. And Lamar is talking about coming in at 25 pounds less in body weight than he was 2 years ago, 10 pounds less than he was last year. Lamar is looking to make different kind of runs with the ball. It's going to come on that spread offense because they can't cover everybody. Likely is going to be on the field much more than we're used to. And sometimes at the expense of Andrews, there's still going to be enough Andrews. I don't know if you're going to take Andrews as high as people are taking him. I think he probably should drop down to maybe the fifth tight end this year.
Do you guys know what his contract situation is for next year?
I do not.
I'll look it up right now. Go ahead, Vince. I'll look it up.
But no, I would think that it might be because of Likely being who he is. I think it might be time to move on for the Ravens.
You're talking about moving on from Andrews.
From Andrews next year.
Well, they might like Prosperity. You know, they've got a lot of players there that aren't making a lot of money. They got a bargain at the running back. But Balky will go to a sports track or something else similar and give us some numbers because that's what Balky does.
That's what I do. I'm my own producer, and everybody benefits because
on the fly.
So on the fly. So Mark Andrews, right now, I'm looking at this guy's. He is under contract through next year, and by next year, I mean 2025. There was a potential out prior to this coming start of this coming season. It doesn't seem like the Ravens are going to utilize that. He is getting a $16.9 million cap hit both this year and next year. Doesn't seem like they would – if they're not going to get out of it now, they're probably not going to get out of it the following year either. So I would imagine that they're going to have some tight end decisions to make after 2025 regarding Andrews and Likely too. So
and Likely will be on a rookie deal for a while. So
not that much longer. I mean, when we're talking
– 4 years, one more year.
So when was he drafted? Likely
22, I believe.
So this will be his
third season.
Third season. So he'll be a free agent after next year as well. So Likely and Andrews will both be free agents in the same year. And like you said, Vince, they're going to have to make a decision at that point if they're going to re-up with Andrews, the oft-injured Andrews, or Isaiah Likely, or neither, or both. You know, you never know.
You guys have strayed from the point of what it's going to take to win the FFPC and the KFFSC this season, which is what you both want to do. And I think if you can roster both these players, but you're always going to overpay for Andrews. And you're right to try to get them both. But I think, again, and we're not saying this, Vince, just because it's you, but, I mean, you're stealing players in every round, in the 12th, the 14th, the 16th. You're stealing all the players. You said you drafted this team to win a 12-man league. You could draft this team to win a 1,000-man league. This is an impressive team.
It was a good team you put together in Genesis. I think we talked about that last week. If we didn't, that's our fault because we should have talked about what a strong team this was. Christian Kirk is not a player that you got in this draft. But looking at some of your other drafts, Vince, you have got him on several of your teams this year. Why is he a good target for FFPC players in 2024?
Just love the floor. He is he's Lawrence's favorite guy. I mean, it's obvious. And, you know, they have Gabe Davis, a nice rookie, great tight end. But I just feel like he's always there for the critical catches, first downs, over the middle. He can play outside as well. It's just, like I said, such a safe floor. I know John Terry took him in the sixth. You know, that's a nice four in the row he has there. And I don't know. I think I try to take him as much as I can. I like to pair him with guys maybe like hopefully Marvin Harrison or DK. They can have those 30-point weeks. And then you get this nice guy that's always hitting that 12 to 16, 17.
Now, I like wide receivers that play with a chip on their shoulder. This guy has a chip on his shoulder. He thinks everybody's underrating him, and he's there to prove them wrong. And I want to ride with that. You know, that's my kind of guy. Listen, was Detroit wrong to draft Jameson Williams, or is it ever going to work?
I think it's going to work. I really do. If you look at the NFC Championship game, we had that 42-yard run right for the touchdown. Then he caught a touchdown pass. And so far, you know, knock on wood, there aren't any gambling scandals or injuries or any drama like that. And, you know, they really don't have anybody else that's a two, you know, Laporta and Amon-Ra, right? I think he's a weapon. And Goff is playing the best ball of his career. Mm-hmm. And that team is probably, I hope. I'd like to see him go to the Super Bowl. So,
Goff's brilliant in Detroit.
Yeah.
He gets out of Detroit, it's in Detroit, how sweet it is.
Oh, yeah.
On the road, you know, it's yeah.
You know, with Jameson Williams, and I don't have him. I can't remember who did this. It might have been Dan Williamson and John Daniel, or maybe it was Theo Grant. I can't remember who it was, but they were dubbing him. They refused to call him Jameson Williams because they thought the more they talked about it on shows and podcasts, the more it would bump up, it would steam his value. Yeah. So they started calling, we need to come up with a nickname for him. So they started calling him Whiskey Bill, obviously Jameson and then Williams. They started. So anytime they referred to him, they'd say Whiskey Bill. And well, Whiskey Bill has never really taken off yet, but it'd be nice to finally, and it is nice for him to finally have a normal off season, right?
Yeah. Where
you don't have an ACL injury you're recovering from. You don't have a gambling suspension looming over your head or anything like that. So this will be nice for Jameson Williams. We'll see what happens with him this season.
It's only May 10th, though.
I know. There's a lot of time to go street racing. Very good and point. Everything yeah. else.
And
that's
you know, it, and the fascinating aspect Mondays. of what you enlightened us to there, Balky, is that all those other fellows actually think somebody's listening to them. So, you know, that's really a good situation there, too. It's, you know, it's, yeah.
Jameson Williams, wide receiver 50 in the Fantasy Pros Championship right now. He is going at the 10.08 in drafts right now.
Bottom shelf Whiskey Bill.
And by the way, Farrell, and you'll appreciate this, the Packers, I've nicknamed the Packers in the fourth round of the NFL draft this year, drafted a safety out of Oregon named Evan Williams, who I have dubbed the Bourbon Basher because
I love it.
How about that? I mean, that's fantastic. And then somebody else, I was listening to some other show. They said there's got to be a backup running back named Elijah Craig somewhere in the NFL to bring that up as well. There's a lot of bourbons who turned into football players. We're just talking about Jameson Williams. Let's keep the Lions conversation going here with you, Vince. Dan in Denver writes, was Sam Laporta a flash in the pan this past season? Is he worth bypassing in favor of other tight ends later? Thanks, Vince. That is Dan in Denver. Now, to Dan's point, if you look at the mojo on these guys right now, you are looking at Sam Laporta as the de facto number one tight end being drafted at that 1-2 turn. You want to skip over him, you have Kelce in the middle of the second. You have Trey McBride at the end of the second. You have Dalton Kincaid in the mid-third, and you have the aforementioned Mark Andrews in the mid-third. And then it goes on after that. Kyle Pitts is the next guy to go on average in the middle of the fourth. What about you, Vince? Is the juice worth the proverbial squeeze for Laporta at the end of the first round?
Yeah, as you saw, Todd Hunter took him fifth overall in the draft last week.
Yes, he did. Yep.
You know what? I believe he is, but I actually feel good when someone gets him before me and I can take Trey McBride. That's, I'm like, okay, because I'd rather have McBride, but I'm not going to take him in the late first, early second. Yeah, I don't think there's any regression. I have health concerns maybe with him.
Yeah.
It seems like he's always dinged up. But yeah, no, I'm going to have my fair share of him for sure. But I really prefer McBride. He's my TE1 for this year.
Vince, just as an add-on to that, in looking at the draft board briefly, I did notice that when it came to you in the second round, after you had drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown, you did have the opportunity to take McBride or Kelsey, who went – oh, no, you didn't – no. Am I looking at this right? No, Kelsey went one pick before you. My apologies. So you couldn't have had Kelsey, but you could add McBride. You went with McBride's real-life teammate, Marvin Harrison, instead. Was there a reason that you ended up going with Harrison over McBride when you could have had the number three tight end there in the second round?
For this build, this Genesis, format, yeah. I wanted to go with the four receivers. That was my plan.
Okay.
And that was a static plan for me. I want four top receivers and guys that safe floor or big game potential, like a DK. You know, he's red zone, deep passes, doesn't miss games. He's still the number one, even with Jackson Smith and Jigma in the second year. So I thought about McBride because I love him, but for this team, I wanted to go four receivers, and I still got that offense, right, with Harrison.
That's true. Yeah, you're still getting a piece of that Cardinals offense for sure.
Points out, Balky, Permore, fellas, he points out that, you know, that Laporta will never get those 10 touchdowns again. And Permore, who cares? He got 86 catches last year. You got at 1.5. You're the wizard of the mathematical, Balky. At 1.5 on 86, I'll take those numbers. Yeah, I'll take those numbers, and I'll roll the dice that the touchdowns approach double digits and don't regress. There's no, but yeah, who wouldn't love McBride? It's fascinating that the tight ends that are available this year.
Let's go on and talk about a couple of rookies here, Vince. Mike in Orlando wants to know, who's the better late round best ball dart throw, Dylan Lobb or Lobby? I'm still not convinced I know which the right way to pronounce it.
I think it's Lobby.
Lobby, okay.
I think it is.
Better round dart throw, Dylan Lobby or Luke McCaffrey? Thank you for the email, Mike in Orlando. Luke McCaffrey, obviously coming from pretty good bloodlines there with the McCaffrey family, Ed, Christian, et al. And then Dylan Lobby, a guy who was drafted. And quite frankly, prior to the NFL draft, I know there are a lot of draft Knicks out there that were talking Lobby up. If you could only pick one of these guys in a best ball league late, who would it be?
Luke McCaffrey, for sure.
And normally, I would say, Vince, that a lot of people would say, kind of myself included, would say, I'll take the running back, you know, just because of him potentially falling into something. Why is it McCaffrey for you here?
I think he'll fit in well, play some slot. And I think Jane Daniels would be really great. And I like the thought of that bloodline that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You think about the guy was a quarterback, right? And his dad was a professional receiver. His brother is one of the greatest running backs of all time. He's going to contribute. And for mm-hmm. best ball, I mean, getting him in the 20th round, I think I have him in three of the never too early teams that I did. Mm. So,
And Lobby's a good player, but, you know, it's what he's going to be labeled. He's going to be a good NFL player. It's always when you make that decision, you look where the play came from. And God bless him, he was a New Hampshire Wildcat, you know. So you learn a little bit about football in the McCaffrey family, and being a New Hampshire Wildcat, you got to really wrestle for everything you can. This is two good players in the league. McCaffrey has the ceiling.
Yep.
I am fresh out of emails, Farrell. So we have one last question for
him. He won't tell us the truth. He won't.
Well, we'll find out. We'll give him a chance to.
He won't tell us the truth because you probably sprung it on him that he's already going to be asked this question. So he's already got disinformation. to counter agency with them. Okay. All right. I need to know a sleeper because obviously you can draft in big numbers, big draft numbers, very talented players. So I'm going to ask you, we can read your drafts tonight, but not we can't see all your drafts. And I want to ask you, who is that guy that you really think is a sleeper and that you really, really want? And then you're a very positive guy. You can make a case for every player, but I want to hear you tell me about a player that you're not touching this year, that everybody else will probably be aggressively drafting. That's what I need to know.
Okay. I wouldn't call this a sleeper. But
well, that's the question I asked, so don't give that as an answer then. Let's review the question. Balky, we're going to return to the question. The question is a sleeper.
Okay.
This is what we must have.
All right, Vince, don't preface it by saying, I don't know if this guy's a sleeper. Just say who it is.
Well, if he's not, I'll tell you that's not a sleeper. We'll have to get
you. Know. We'll let you know. We'll extend the show.
Farrell, if you were to structure the question, who is someone you're going to try to get everywhere?
Patrick Mahomes in the 12th round.
I would say Josh Jacobs, because I feel like at the end of the day, when the season's over, he is going to be the running back 4 in all fantasy football.
Wow. And I will buy that. That is a sleeper.
He's going to
walking iron on him.
Mid to late first rounder, and he's going where right now?
Josh Jacobs currently has an ADP in the Fantasy Pros Championship of running back 11 at the 304.
Okay.
So he is going behind guys like Travis Etienne, Derrick Henry, Devon Achane, and a guy we talked about earlier, Kyren Williams.
If he's going to be the 4th fantasy scorer at running back, who are the 3 guys in front of him?
Oh, can I guess?
Go.
Yeah. I'll guess. McCaffrey.
Yep.
Bijan Robinson, am I right on that, Vince? And then Breece Hall.
I think so. Yeah, Breece.
Okay.
I think Breece is going to be 1. Breece is going to be 1. Bijan 2, McCaffrey 3, Jacobs 4.
Wow.
Not that this matters to anybody.
It does matter because it's going to lead into this question. If you are drafting in Kentucky or in the FFPC and you have that first overall pick, are you taking Breece Hall over Christian McCaffrey?
Wow. Absolutely.
There you go.
Every time.
That's fantastic. You won't have to. Okay, so I had the question, if you remember, if you go back to ages ago when I asked this question, you're now going to tell me.
Wait, bonus sleeper. Bonus sleeper.
Oh, bonus sleeper. Here we go. Buckle up.
I got my pen out. Who was it?
Deontay Foreman.
Oh, okay.
So Foreman, just before you answer this, Vince, or before you tell us about it, I'll just tell you about, Nick Chubb, I was really devastated when I saw the injury. Then as the end of the season and the offseason hit, I became more optimistic about Chubb's recovery. Then I read some update recently about, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something to the effect of, oh, my God, it doesn't sound like Cleveland thinks this guy is close at this point. Why are people not drafting Deontay Foreman earlier? We talked about it in Genesis. You got him in the 17th round. But I think the Chubb news on his knee, this is directly in regard to why you think Foreman is a nice sleeper here.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if Chubb does play half of the year, Jerome Ford, he's not proven. He looks good, but he's not. Foreman, he's done it everywhere he's been. And for stretches of 3-4 games, right? He's not going to carry the mail for 16 weeks, but he's a tough runner. I think he'll fit the weather there and the identity of the team. I think they're going to love him. And I think they're going to get a lot of work out of him probably at the end of the year too. If you can hold somebody like him and you don't need the roster space, I think he'll really pay off.
So your bonus sleeper from Vince Staffolino tonight is Deontay Foreman, running back 72 at the 18-10. He's free, people. Vince Staffolino is just giving this stuff to you. So make sure you're using it. To Farrell's point, is there a player that you are not going to have on any of your teams this year?
George Kittle.
Kittle, really?
Yeah, I've had enough. I've had enough.
Vince Staffolino, fed up with George Kittle.
we've called it for a long time, and you know, the Freiermuth production at the draft point you have to pick him at is too difficult. It's just too, and he's my favorite player to watch in the
NFL. I love him as a
football 49ers, they ask him to do way too much, you know, way too much. Good call.
Based on the Kittle analysis, Vince, does that mean you're bumping any, like a Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk or anybody like that up your board if you're down on Kittle this year?
I would keep them where they are.
Or Ricky Pearsall, we could bring up Pearsall as well.
That's an interesting player for sure.
Pearsall, interesting for Dynasty or interesting for redraft this year? Or both?
Really Dynasty, if you think about if they try to move on from one of those guys next year, whether it's Ayuk or Debo, because it seems like they have some dissension there. But look at the offense, look at the coach, look at the quarterback who doesn't seem to favor anybody. Right. So he can make an impact this year, I think too.
I think you have made an impact on a lot of people watching and listening on how they're going to be drafting fantasy pros teams and FFPC best ball tournament teams going forward, Vince, and we certainly appreciate you for that. We will continue to follow you on X at @VC_staff. Congratulations on the Pros versus Joes League victory last year. Congratulations on the Genesis League victory last year, and good luck defending the belt there. It'd be awesome to have you on as a two-time defending champ in Genesis when we have you on next year. This is always a treat to talk to you, man. And we will talk with you in person in Louisville, in Kentucky.
And in Vegas in
a couple of months. God, it's coming up fast. It's already May.
Bulky, I just have to say one thing. So I caught a little bit of your show with Gary Davenport.
And
you two were a beardless drummer, like ZZ Top.
Yes, that's true. I can't remember who it was, but somebody chimed in on the chat that they were jealous of all the hair that was on the screen last night. It's just... It was fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, Derek Brown from Fantasy Pros, we've done a couple of shows, and with all apologies to Derek Brown, he ain't got nothing on Gary Davenport's beard. And Gary has the long hair, too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So he is just full-on man when you look at him. So that was it was a fun show to do. We'll have
that was
him back
one of the best I've heard. It was great.
Good. I'm glad you liked it. We'll definitely have him back on soon, and we'll have you back on soon as well, Vince.
Thank you.
Enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much for hopping aboard, dude.
Thank you. Thanks, Farrell. Talk to you guys soon.
See you, Vince
Staff. That is Vince Staffolino. We'll see you later, Vince. That is Vince Staffolino, the defending Genesis champion, a guy who's looking to repeat, and a guy who maybe will get into Pros versus Joes again this year and repeat there as well. Farrell, one of the things I've learned in my career in radio, you don't want to do empty teases. And the last thing I want to do is leave our listeners hanging on the Tennessee Titans running back situation. Oh, sure. So we will answer. That is the one email I will make time for tonight. George in Chico, California, where Aaron Rodgers went to community college. He writes, "Hey guys, which Titans running back should I go with this season? Tony Pollard or Tyjae Spears? Thanks a lot." That is George in Chico, California. Now, before you answer, I can tell you that these two players are going pretty close in drafts right now. Pollard is the running back 29, running back 29 at the 806. Tyjae Spears, running back 36 at the 910. So you're looking at a little over a round separating these two players, with Pollard going a little bit earlier. Farrell, you already talked about in the early part of the show, you think that both of these players are going to get a lot of catches this year as well. Is there one guy that separates himself above the other one? Or these kind of a mix and match, go with personal preference?
No, it's a 7-8 term. Perhaps you draft them both. This is the same guy. These players are the very same guy. This is a unique way to attack this position. We're in a situation that we've got people that really know football. Permar's just talking about it right now. What's he saying here? You take Spears better value. Well, they're the same draft value, but they're the same player. And what's going to happen is in certain game scripts, you're going to get one that's hot early and one that's hot late. It's going to make this team very, very fun to watch. It's going to raise the boat of both these players. We talked about how Pollard could respond positively when he was with Elliott in Dallas, but now he's got the same kind of guy across from him with the same, and you've got these these better receivers. You've got a tight end at this team. You've got a quarterback that does something a little bit with his feet. This team is the biggest change in all of the NFL. You're not going to recognize the Titans when they come to play, and you're going to love what both these backs do with over 200-plus carries and over 50 catches apiece. And that production's a steal. They're both tremendous value. Pollard naturally has shown more of it. Pollard has probably a little bit more to show, but they're going to both benefit each other, and Pollard will benefit Spears. So it's good stuff.
You know, I'm just looking at Vince's draft from last Friday night, which we covered on the show, and he went with those four wide receivers right away. He gets Lamar Jackson, Jake Ferguson, and then he pounds all these running backs, David Montgomery, Trey Benson, Blake Corum, and then he got Tyjae Spears in there as well. And yeah. I think that's good advice for anybody who's going zero RB this year, which zero RB seems to become more and more polarizing every single year. And I always say it's not possible for it to become more polarizing, and yet somehow it becomes more polarizing the year after. But you get Tyjae Spears there as one of those four running backs. He's a perfect zero RB guy to go with there. And I think, you know, whether he takes advantage of a Pollard injury and becomes a top 15 back for a certain week or maybe multiple weeks, even if he doesn't, you know he's going to catch passes. You know he's palatable as a flex. So there's certainly something there with these Titans running backs this year. Titans offense is going to be fun, much more fun to watch than it has been in years, with apologies to Derrick Henry. I'm excited to see what happens for sure. I'm excited to see what happens next week, Farrell. We are not doing a show next Friday, but we will do a show this coming Wednesday. So next HSFL hour will be Wednesday. I will talk with you again. And in the meantime, we'll be checking out KFFSC.com and signing up for all the leagues that you have available there, including the main events, both live in Louisville, Cincinnati, and online as well.
Thank you very much, Balky. We'll see you then on Wednesday.
Hey,
on Wednesday, we'll answer Sam Robinson's question. Sam Robinson, be sure to tune in.
Yes. Okonkwo and Treylon Burks. We will be talking about him this
guy. There you go.
For sure. Thanks, Farrell. Be good. That is Farrell Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, coming on the show tonight to co-host with me once again, as he does to critical acclaim each and every week. I want to thank him. I want to thank Vince Staffolino, the FFPC, Rob, Bryce, and of course, each and every one of you for listening or downloading or streaming, what have you. We appreciate it. It's what makes this show go. And what makes this show go? Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Now, next Friday, again, like I said, no show. Wednesday night, we'll be doing a show, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Five-time FFPC main event and fantasy pros champion Derek Greer will be our guest this coming Wednesday. A lot of good stuff with the fantasy pros drafts that he's done already this year, and he'll give us some insight on what he's seeing. In case you missed, watch last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network, on betternetwork.com, or on any of the FFPC socials, Bleacher Reports, Gary Davenport and I had a baller time talking about everything going on with the FFPC, with everything going on in drafts, and a lot of player analysis on that program as well. We will be live next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be myself and RotoWire's Jim Coventry. And oh, by the way, the NFL schedule is scheduled to come out on Wednesday. So your schedule analysis for FFPC drafts, that will be coming up on Thursday with myself and Jim Coventry from RotoWire. Check out the Fantasy Pros Championship, the FFPC Best Ball Tournament, and the FFPC Superflex Best Ball Tournament right now at myffpc.com. And while you're there, sign up for some of the Dynasty Leagues and Empire Leagues we have going on there as well. Plenty of them are ready to pop off via the slow draft format starting tomorrow. So make sure you're checking that out and signing up at myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends and enemies, and get notified by clicking that notification bell so you know the next time we go live, which will be Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Myself, Farrell, and Derek Greer right here on the HSFF Hour. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
By the way, I did get a couple of private messages on the YouTube stream tonight. Say, hey, Balky, what's the hat that you're wearing? This is my Dads Are Cool 2 hat, which I got from dadsarecool2.com. If you remember a few weeks back, maybe a month or so ago now, we had Danelle Anthony, a longtime FFPC player and champion. This is his baby, dadsarecool.com. A lot of cool hats and sweatshirts there. I recommend the Dads Are Cool 2 sitcom hoodie featuring images of Sherman Hemsley, John Amos, Reginald Vell Johnson, and of course, James Avery all on there from Fresh Prince, Good Times, The Jeffersons, and Family Matters. And a ton more on there as well. So check that out, dadsarecool2.com. Follow them on the X at dadsarecool2 as well. I love my hats that I got there, and you'll love them too. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. Really appreciate it. Talk with you on Wednesday night with Farrell Elliott and Derek Greer.